You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. Deflategate and Tom Brady, a sad ending to the playoffs for the Wings, Mike Babcock's future, and Harbaugh heading into the heart of the SEC for camp. Lots to cover on our sports roundup today. Here's Michigan Radio sports commentator John U. Bacon. So first off, your thoughts on the Wells report from the NFL?
So with four topics, we've got lightning round today, don't we?
We are, man.
Deflategate, the Wells report, they spent way too much time and money trying to determine how many ounces of pressure were in these footballs. It's between like 12 and 13. It's very close either way. Almost makes no difference. And yet, here it is, basically Watergate. You sports fans out there might recall from the early 80s, the George Brett pine tar issue.
Yes.
This is that stupid, in my opinion. It's just as stupid, irrelevant, silly. It's not going to matter. And it should be noted that when Tom had, and the chance for puns here is endless, let's be careful, when he had the footballs that he wanted in the first half of the game against the Indianapolis Colts, the game was pretty close. And then when he had to use the official balls of the NFL that he did not like, he tore them apart. So it gave him clearly no advantage whatsoever in the situation. He might have thought it did, but it didn't. And so the question is, how much will this tarnish his reputation?
Yeah.
And amongst Tom haters and Pat's haters, quite a bit. Of course, he'll never live this down. Amongst rational human beings, please.
But I have to note, 200 pages of report, and it's
200 pages.
Yeah, but it's all so equivocating. Like, they probably deflated footballs and Brady probably knew about it. Is it because the NFL doesn't want to tarnish their golden boy?
Exactly. And look, if they're serious about this, they would have done this very easily in the two-week gap between the AFC conference finals and the Super Bowl. They wanted no part of this.
Let's pivot over to the North invading the South once more. General Sherman would be proud. Jim Harbaugh's camping trip, this string of satellite camps that he's holding, including one on June 5th at Prattville High School in Alabama, which is a big deal because?
Because that's their turf, man. The same reason was in Civil War. Shelby Foote, of course. Yep. On Ken Burns' great video, when they asked him, you know, why are you here? Because you are. That was the Confederate response at the time, of course, to the invasion, as they saw it, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's how they see this also, frankly, and it's almost as important.
Well, here you get Nick Saban, Alabama's coach, complaining because the SEC restricts them on where they can hold their camps within that 50-mile radius and saying, you know, schools who can travel like Michigan have a competitive recruiting advantage. And to that you say?
Oh, I got some things to say about that. They will not be printable here, if you will. Look, the National Sign-In Day is the first Wednesday of February. How's the weather like up in Michigan in January? Not so good. How's the weather in July? Quite nice, thank you very much. How's in Alabama in July? It's horrible. But in January, it's quite nice. That's a huge advantage. When you make your visits in January to Michigan or Alabama, they've already played 7-on-7 football down there in the springtime. It's an official high school spring sport, which Michigan is just now getting. The economy, the population, all that stuff is going south and west. We know this. That's where the jobs are. So they've got every possible advantage. And let me add one more at the risk of getting your lawyers alerted. They cheat. There, I said it. I don't know about Alabama per se, but the Southern schools, as a rule, have got the systemic way of doing this. It's in my last book. When Mike Motti of Louisiana, who's recruited by everybody in the Southeast, went to Penn State, we both described what we knew about how they cheat. It's very systemic. It's very smart.
Tell us.
Well, for example, the most clever idea is the local sheriff and the local police chief will come to visit you as a recruiter and say, Coach, who do you want this year? You start naming names. You start writing down addresses. If they live in your state, those parents will get jobs working for the county or the city in parks and rec or sanitation or transportation. And there's not a damn thing the NCAA can do about any of it. Not that they would want to anyway. Mm. You can't do anything. And if you're a poor guy living in, you know, Tuscaloosa or Baton Rouge or whatever, that looks pretty good. There's also $100,000 credit cards that have the wrong name on them. So if they don't report it, it's not a crime. And it's all done through the churches or the current players. The coaches don't touch any of this. Fingerprints. So Mike Motti and I are sitting there talking about this. And Mike's a very smart guy, captain of the team, now with the Vikings. Mm-hmm. He was getting his master's the year I was talking to him as a fourth-year senior. And he said, okay, you know what's going on. I know what's going on. How come the NCAA does not know what's going on? And I thought, good question. And so as far as Saban goes, there's my response.
And this tactic, Harbaugh's getting a lot of attention. And it's all, every time they complain, it's good for him, isn't it?
Saban's playing right into his hand beautifully. And Harbaugh's keeping mum. And he said, you know what? All other coaches are also welcome to join us to see what we're doing. Mm-hmm. College coaches, high school coaches, you name it. And look, Not only is it not against any NCAA or Big Ten rules, right, it's not even unethical, unlike so many things that are allowed by the rules, including oversigning, which they do at Alabama all the time. They used to bring in 10 extra players per class and basically have a tryout in August. And if you don't make it, we cut you, and now nobody wants you, which is so unethical, I can't stand
it. You've talked about that before.
Oh, I can't. And Michigan does not do any of that stuff. This is not even unethical. It gives the players a chance to see what their options are, which only strikes me as utterly fair.
Over to the Wings for a sad bit. Any postmortem thoughts on yet another round one exit?
Well, a heroic run. They were the sixth seed going against the third seed, a very good Tampa Bay team. We talked about this earlier. We said, man, if they win one game at Tampa Bay, that'll be heroic. They won two.
Yeah.
And still managed up 3-2 in game six to blow it, frankly.
Don't even bring that up.
Sorry.
Almost, I think we felt that was it. When they couldn't pull off game six.
Yeah. And they gave a pretty good battle in game seven, but I thought that was done. And I will say, silver linings. One, they played quite well. Two, they did it without Ablicator for a good chunk of the first couple games. Then you've also got Peter Mrazek, the goalie, who played out of his head. Two shutouts against the highest scoring team in the NHL. So that was clearly very impressive, which might tell Babcock that's your guy next year.
Yeah, yeah. And we didn't have Cronwall for game seven.
That's right, which counts.
Yeah, it does. So Mike Babcock's contract is up on June 30th. Wings fans and the media are on Babcock watch. So I want to play debate club. Why should he stay with the Wings? Question one.
You got a great family ownership, the Ilitches, who stay out of your business, and they treat everyone very well. And it's a place you can win. You've got, I think, the best general manager, frankly, president, in all of sports, Ken Holland. He is 24 straight years. A good chunk of that is his. They've won with every kind of rules, every kind of team. They've done a great job, and he's very supportive of the coach. Whatever Mike Babcock wants, he gets, which is not always the case. There's a lot of reasons right there. And you've spent already about 10 years here.
All right, flip the coin over. Why should he go?
What else can you do here? You've already won a Stanley Cup here. You've won an Olympic gold medal with the Canadiens. He's from Saskatchewan. The Oilers in Edmonton, they'll be calling for him. It's rumored that Toronto, of course, which is the franchise in hockey, one of the most profitable franchises in the world in any sport, and they cannot win to help themselves. It's so dysfunctional. So he's the kind of guy who might go in there and fix that. That'd be a dream for any Canadian kid. They're the Yankees, or the Yankees asleep, basically, in hockey. So those are the reasons not to. Here's the third one. Red Berenson's got one more year in his contract. My guess is that he comes back for that year. He'll be 76 during that year. My guess is, and he said this, it's probably his last contract. He and Mike Babcock are very close. It is not out of the question that somehow Mike Babcock might end up at Michigan this year or next year. Not likely, I don't think, at this stage. I mean, I think Red is going to finish his last year, and as Lord knows, has earned that right. But that is still not impossible.
Michigan Radio Sports commentator John Eubacon. Thanks, John.
Cindy, always a pleasure.